Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. Liverpool are taking on Arsenal. We are in the studio. Chris Page joins me, John Machin joins me, and Steve Hoare as well. This is the dream team? With great offence to everyone
three
else
off.
Who's not here.
Three of, yeah. Tom, there.
It's as if. With the greatest of disrespect to Tom. No. Although he is a very good number two, I'm just saying. I guess, okay, on the subject of which, big Tom shaped shoes to fill. Excited for this one?
Yeah.
Good.
Of course I am, man. Yeah. I want to test ourselves. I want to see how good we are. I want to see how good Arsenal are. That's what it's about, isn't it, these games? This is why we look forward to them, because Arsenal have been playing incredibly well. And I want to know whether they're just the same as they've always been, or they're better. Mm. Like we found that out with Chelsea. We found out Chelsea were better than I thought they were.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool are better than Arsenal. I want them to go out there and prove it.
I think this is the game I'm most excited for this season so far. That I wasn't excited about Man City because so much rests on that game. And Chelsea, I don't know, I don't enjoy games against Chelsea. Arsenal games I do enjoy because, okay, we haven't got a great record of winning at the Emirates, but they do produce some pretty good games.
Well, I mean, the way they've been playing, which is pretty free-flowing and scoring goals, on paper it looks like it's going to be a terrific game. I think in reality it's probably not.
Yeah.
I think Jürgen this season is not so stupid to go gung-ho. Unless he goes at them in the first half when they're usually rubbish, then I suspect he'll just make sure that we don't get beat.
Steve, do you think this game, we were happy with a point at Stamford Bridge? In any world, you'd be happy with a point at the Etihad. I guess we'll know when we see what Arsenal look like, but would this follow that, you know, if you get a point against your top six rivals away from home is a good point, or are you looking at this thinking this is one of the ones where you've got to go and get 3 points?
That's tough, isn't it? I think a point is a good result, but I wouldn't take a point if you're offering me it now. I would have taken the point against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I probably would have taken a point against Spurs as well, actually, but because I wasn't sure how good they were.
Spurs is a good example of this, isn't
it?
Really?
I think we are better. I wasn't sure if we were better than those two teams. I'm pretty sure we're better than Arsenal. So if it ends up that we get a point, it isn't the end of the world. It's probably a good result. But having said that, if you're offering me it now, I wouldn't take it, because I think we can definitely go and beat them.
I think the problem is we don't actually know how good Arsenal are.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't look great in the first two games because their defence looked terrible.
But it's the first two games.
But it's the first two games. It's probably the two best teams.
Yeah.
Certainly the two best teams they've faced this season.
Yeah.
And they've blown away other people. But, you know, they've not played teams who would really challenge them. So we don't know whether we're going to take them to the cleaners or whether they're going to give us a really good game.
I think that's a good point, in that if you were to follow just the baseline, if you just analysed results and who the results have come against, because you would look at it and go, well, yeah, Arsenal are no good against the big teams, but that's a massive caveat. You know, with the first two games, it was the first two games of them changing the style of play, and exactly said there, the two other unbeaten teams in the Premier League, two brilliant sides they come up against. It's hard to predict what we're going to get.
It is, but we're certainly, I think, on a level at least with Chelsea and Manchester City, and they beat Arsenal. Now, I realise that it's the first two games of the season and, you know, they've obviously looked a little bit better, but the weaknesses and the frailties are still there for all to see. I think even if you were to speak to an Arsenal fan, they'd say defensively they've not been great. Attacking wise, they've looked fantastic. I said to you yesterday, Paul, that's same old Arsenal for me. Mm. You know, well, they beat the teams who were lower down in the league than them, and they struggle against the teams above them. Let's find out if they are same old Arsenal or they're better.
I've seen a few of their games. I mean, the game that surprised me most was the game against Chelsea, because having been beaten by City, I thought, you know, Arsenal were really going to be rubbish this season. Mm-hmm. And yet they really, really gave Chelsea a game. Yeah. I mean, they could possibly have won it, because going forward, they were creating chances.
The
they were missing
missed,
them.
Yeah.
But they were creating them. And then since then, they've been taking the chances. Now, is that because they're playing worse defences? Although, to be honest, I thought Chelsea's defence was rubbish that day. And they've improved a lot since then.
Well, that's interesting, because funnily, I've just spoken to Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV. And he the way he talks about Chelsea was... He doesn't rate Chelsea, because Chelsea just were not at it at all in that game. And you're dead right. Arsenal could have wiped the floor with Chelsea. They had more than enough opportunities to comfortably win that game. Now, the flip is true as well, because Chelsea had more than enough chances to comfortably win it as well. But
do you remind me, Paul? Sorry, Arsenal remind me of 13-14 Liverpool.
Yes.
They've got two top forwards, like Lacazette and Aubameyang, are up there with the best in Europe, I think. But their defence is horrendous. It's like awful. And I watched them against Palace the other day. And Palace scored two, and they were two penalties, but they missed so many chances. You know, Palace carved them open time and time again, and by hook-up, it wasn't like the goalie was pulling worldy saves. They just missed them. And
Leicester were the same.
Leicester first half, stress, I agree, yeah. Leicester had ample opportunities to score past them, but just missed them. And we will get chances to score. It's just whether we can, and we've got the players to put them in the back of the net. That's the. If I was an Arsenal fan, I would be thinking, for us to win this game, it's going to have to be like a 3-2. I don't think Arsenal can beat Liverpool 1-0. Mm. I think Liverpool can beat Arsenal 1-0. Yeah. I don't think they can beat us 1-0.
I'm interested to see how Liverpool set up against them, whether we go to that like gegenpress them and look to take advantage of the fact that they're still learning to pass out from the back, or whether we go to maybe more of a 4-3-3 formation and do what we did to Manchester City, where we just hit them on the break. Because both of those styles, to me, seem to suit Liverpool. Arsenal need to dominate the game, I think, to win. And they can do that at the Emirates. They've done that for years and years against some great sides. But can they do that to this Liverpool side? I'm not so sure.
The most striking thing about Arsenal this season is the difference between the first halves and the second halves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone remarks about it. They're awful in the first half, and they could easily go several goals down, but they haven't been. But that through luck, Leicester could have been 3-0 up. You know, and Palace could have scored goals in the first half. But it's a different side that comes out in the second half. It's a bit like that Seville game against us.
Well, they've got that.
When Emery played, well, you know, and we were leading at half time.
Shouldn't be underestimated.
So, I mean, the question is, will Klopp see that and think, let's go at them in the first half and try and get a decent lead and then sit back on it and stop them playing in the second half?
And we can do that now, can't we? That's the thing. We haven't seen us particularly start quickly in many games this season. It is something that we look to sort of build up into the game. Back end of the first half, that we score a lot of goals back end of the first half, and conversely, back end of the second half, we do feel the teams out and then look to. It'd be interesting to see if we went full throttle from the first minute.
I get the notion. I think we're trying to be a much more rounded side this season, but this feels like the perfect game to go for the throat, because, I mean, this would have been slightly more the case, I think, in the early games of the season, for sure, and they are far more settled. And regardless of the quality of the opposition, that's fine. You've got to, you know, it's irrelevant. It's allowed them to get into their style of play and allowed them to get comfortable with how they play. I think back to the early days of Brendan Rodgers, and we played Arsenal very early under Rodgers, and we were playing their style of football, and they absolutely wiped the floor with us. It was like men against boys. It was like us doing a really crap Arsenal impression. They're doing an impression of us, City, etc, etc, you know, that passing out from the back style. I would want to test them and see how good they are in that. And in some regards, you know, we're talking about, you know, Granit Xhaka might be a bonus being at left back, and I think that sounds solid logic to me. I actually don't mind if they've got a Monreal or a Bellerin in there, because I'd rather them have actual defenders in there if we're going to press them high, rather than them have to put midfielders on there, because at least you're going to get guys comfortable on the ball. That might be a contributing factor, but I would very much like us because we make City look stupid when they play it out from the back, because we put them right, you know, whether we play counter-attack or not, when they do that, we're right up in their faces. Look at the goals at the Etihad, particularly in the Champions League, was just us basically making their defenders look stupid. We've done it against Spurs as well. So I really hope we do, You know, like those games where a goalkeeper's crap on crosses, when you go and put loads of men on that goalkeeper and just start launching balls to the box. If they're a bit shaky from passing it off from the back, then I hope Liverpool smell blood in the water.
We are managing games better now than we have been in the past. So if we get a couple of goals up, you know, we do have the team now that could just hold on to that in the second half if we need.
You can't see this, it's to say from this position of days out, but what happened to us at the Emirates last season, I wouldn't bank on that happening to Liverpool again. If Liverpool get goal, it feels like now, if Liverpool ever get a 2-goal lead up against anyone, I would bank us to win that game 99 times out of 100 at this point. So it would be nice to see us go hard in from the first half. Chris touched upon it, Steve. Formation wise, I'm now all totally bought into 4-2-3-1. It's only taken like 2.5 games, I know. And I'd be made up to see us play that going forward. There is still a notion that our best team for our best occasion is a 4-3-3. We'll come on to preferred 11s, but what do you think? How do you think Klopp will see this?
I think we'll go 4-3-3. I think Johan Firmino is a proper striker in this game. I think he'll, for the reasons we just said, I think he'll want him doing the pressing, the buzzing around Mustafi, and I imagine it'll be holding as well. And people, the notion with Firmino is that he's a great presser, and he is, but a lot of his great pressing is actually going back towards his own goal.
He takes
it off the players, he goes back and takes it, and then goes, and it's really hard for him to do that as a number 10. Whereas if he's the number 9 coming back in, and then he gets it, and then he can spring Mane and Salah.
Yeah.
I think that's what we'll want. I think that's what the manager will want to do. And I think he'll want a bit of a bit more robust midfield. I think when you go 4-2-3-1, you've got the extra attacker, haven't you? So it's a Shaqiri or a Lallana, and I think he'll be desperate for Milner to play. I think, spoiler me, 11, Milner's going to be in mine. And I don't think Milner can play in a 4-2-3-1.
Okay.
So that's why I think he'll go for
it. I agree with you, everything you've said there about Firmino and the way that he comes back to get the ball. And I think, actually, I agree with you about the Xhaka point as well. Xhaka facing forwards isn't very good with pressure from behind, because he tends to do what Emre Can did for us, and he dawdles a little bit on the football. And then having someone like a Bobby Firmino to whip the ball off him then, sound. When Xhaka's maybe playing the left-back position, he can see the entire field, he can see what's coming at him, and I think he's got a great range of passing, you know, he can kick the ball well, so that's probably something where, again, I agree with you, I'd rather see Xhaka in the middle and Firmino in that 9 coming back to nick it off him. But that being said, I definitely feel like if we were to start 4-3-3 and we were to get a couple of goals up, I'd then move it to 4-2-3-1, because then we can control the ball better. Mm. You know, making those little triangles and able to keep the ball and just making sure that we recycle
possession
over and over.
I'd like to see the other way around. I'd like to start with 4-3-2-1, try and, you know, put pressure on them and score goals, and then move to 4-3-3.
Mm. For the quick transitions afterwards.
Yeah, it's just one. I'll ask you a question on this. Let's say Liverpool go with 4-3-3 for this game.
Yeah.
What's our best midfield three at the moment? Let's say Henderson's fifth as well for this, just for the sake of argument.
Absolutely no one knows, do they? You know, that's a fact, because Fabinho's only had a couple of games, but will get better. You know, we've got Keita, we've still not seen anything from Keita yet. So he's not in the top three at the moment. Mm-hmm. No, you know, so it's a question of Henderson, Milner, Ginny, as basically they're the top three. And Fabinho and Shaqiri are fighting their way into it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd quite like to see Shaqiri. That's why I'd like to go 4-3-2-1. I'd like to see Shaqiri on the pitch.
Just a countdown or 4-2-3-1?
whatever number
you want. Countdown to goals.
As long as Shaqiri's on, I don't mind.
Yeah.
As for the best midfield, I don't know. Take your pick.
I think it probably still is. Well, I mean, you could make a case to see that it's Gini, Keita, Milner. You could make a case that it's Henderson, Gini, Milner. Just based on two games of Fabinho. Now, those are played in a two-man midfield, so I think it's tough to argue him in a three, but I still think I see no reason why he couldn't do the job in a three. I personally think right now, just from the little we've seen of him, regardless of what shape our midfield is, I think Fabinho should be in it.
It's really tough, because on the newsroom last week, Chris asked me what do I think the best team is. I think I said Wijnaldum, Milner, Keita, if everyone's fit and firing. Mm-hmm. I think that would be my preferred option. Since then,
what a week it's been since then.
I'm just not, like you said before, I don't know if Fabinho can play as a six because he hasn't done it. But I think if you can still get, you can still be a three-man midfielder, you can still ask Milner and Wijnaldum to be compact closer to him. So it can kind of transition into a two anyway. So I don't think it's that big a difference than what you can do. So I think it's what I said it is still. But listen, you can't argue with Fabinho. Henderson will, if Henderson's fit, I imagine he might play. Mm-hmm. And I think the manager loves him, so he's clearly an option. So there's tons and tons of opportunity, which is a good thing, isn't it? I mean, how often have we sat here and just named our team and our best team?
Yeah.
And that isn't the case now. I think Unai Emery won't have a clue. And even when he sees the team sheet, he won't have a clue.
Yeah.
Because he'll look at that and go, is Salah up front? Is Firmino up front? Is that a two? Is that a three? And it won't be until kick-off that you know, because...
And it might not even be till 15 minutes into the game.
I know,
it might not be the same 45 minutes into the game.
When you watch the game against Cardiff the other day, it was different, wasn't it? It was, at first, it just looked like the 4-3-3 again. And actually, it wasn't. Mo Salah was up front on his own. And that took us 10 minutes to get our heads around it. So, as the opposition manager and the opposition players, that's something else they've got to think about, is that you see the 11 and you think, like, we'll see Arsenal's 11 and we'll know what's happening, who's playing where. They're not going to know that until 10 minutes into the game.
I'd like to see, if he went 4-3-3, probably going against popular opinion, I wouldn't mind seeing Wijnaldum in the six.
No, I agree.
He's a guy that we know that can do it in these big games against big teams. And Fabinho, I think, has got a little bit more about him than people are probably giving him credit for. You know, he likes to play forward passes, we know that. But he will also drop that little bit deeper. So it's just a fusion midfield somewhere between the two, isn't it? Wijnaldum gives the ball to Fabinho. Fabinho looks up and tries to hit Mo or Firmino coming back towards the ball. I mean, maybe play through their midfield like that. And then Fabinho has a propensity to go forwards anyway and look for these 1-2s on the edge of the box. So he's definitely more box-to-box than people are probably giving him credit for.
Fabinho, in the fullness of time, is going to probably establish himself as a regular, because of what you're saying, his ability to pass the ball, you know, the way he can move forward. He's got a little touch of class as well as the steel to him, which others don't necessarily have.
Yeah.
And of course, Milner's obviously getting older and older, you know. So I see Fabinho is going to be a real star, but I don't think he's there yet. So
Wijnaldum was the six, I thought. If any of them were the six against Cardiff, it was Wijnaldum. Mm-hmm. He was the one who was hanging around the demo, and it was Fabinho, like I say, it's Fabinho who was trying to get involved in the attack. So, it's really tough. I just don't know.
He's in a great spell of form, isn't he, Wijnaldum? I don't think he'd leave him out at the moment.
No, he has to play. I think.
Well, that's the point.
And Milner has to play, doesn't he?
Well, that's everyone else think that. Milner's in tremendous form as well. Gini's in tremendous form, but Fabinho now, two games, but that's you know, he's been brilliant in those two games for me. Like, and I would loads more to come from him as well.
I suppose it depends whether Jürgen thinks that, you know, he needs to have a long run now to establish himself in the side, or whether he's just one of his midfield, you know,
options. Like,
Well, that's shop and change.
I think he's, the manager's been very much horses for courses this year, and he'll do that again. He won't pick his best team. He'll pick the best team to be the Arsenal. He won't be worrying about anything else. Now, the players, if everyone's fit, which they should be after a week off, if everyone's fresh, he won't go, right, here's my best team. He'll go, here's my best team to beat these. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think he's probably going to go with a three. I think he'll want Firmino right up top.
Okay, interesting. We've touched on Fabinho there. Chris did a lot more Fabinho on the Stats and Tactics show this week. Here's a little look.
Pass Sonar again. This is at Ben8T on Twitter. Now, what's really interesting here is that the pass distance, as we've mentioned, the longer passes are darker. So you can see Mo Salah, here. That dark one is a longer distance pass. And the size of the bar and the bar length, sorry, the bar length is frequency of pass. So what you'll see is Dejan Lovren plays more forward passes than a Virgil van Dijk. And that's quite surprising in this scenario. But you've got to, as always, temper that with what you've seen from the match. Now, the difference, I believe, between the two players, between Virgil and Dejan, is that when Dejan picks the ball up, he will pass the ball forwards. When Virgil picks the ball up, he'll go 10, 15 yards, and he might actually pass the left back, and then he'll play a pass, or he might pass the centre midfielder, and then he'll play a pass, which is why you see more of a frequency left and right from Virgil. Certainly left, because you would almost think Alberto Moreno's average position and we just go back to it, is up here, right? Now, that is a different angle to what's showing up on the pass sonar. They're more like, it's closer to a 90-degree pass to my left, isn't it, from Virgil? And that's because he's bringing the ball out. So again, these pass sonars are absolutely brilliant, but you've got to marry that with what you've seen from the actual game itself. Whereas Dejan's the deeper defender, everybody's ahead of him. He's obviously going to pass the ball ahead more often than not. Then you've got someone like a Fabinho who is spreading the ball left, right, at all different angles, but the majority of them are going forwards. Gini Wijnaldum's most... the pass he made most frequently was a short pass, almost directly forwards. Then he was playing left and right. Adam Lallana spreading it round, picking up the ball in the half space, exactly the same as Sadio Mane. Roberto Firmino's the guy who's getting the ball and moving it on, left, right, behind me, over my head, through people's legs while I'm sat on the floor with a back heel. And then Mo Salah's obviously further up.
So yeah, the Stats and Tactics show is there on the redmentv.com. Once a week, at least, Chris, deep dives into how Liverpool
play. Absolutely, and you know, I thoroughly enjoy doing these shows, and hopefully the viewers do as well. And, you know, the comments that I get back, the feedback's been brilliant. But the reason that I enjoy doing it is because I get to sort of try and delve into Jurgen Klopp's mind a little bit. Now, I don't have the experience of someone like a Jurgen Klopp or anything, but you can certainly see patterns that are developing, certainly over the last couple of games, especially with this 4-2-3-1. So not only did I analyse the stats, but I actually went back and did sort of an introductory to the 4-2-3-1 formation, because it's something that everybody spoke about when Jurgen came into the club, but it's been 3 years now and we've only seen it in flashes. So I sort of went back, showed them exactly how most teams play a 4-2-3-1, and applied that learning later on in the video to how Liverpool did it. And all the feedback's been absolutely fantastic. People absolutely loving it. So if you fancy it and you're into that type of stuff, then do go and check out the redmentv.com.
Perfect. Right, gents, preferred 11th time. There's a lot, there's actually a surprising amount of consensus, but with some interesting changes here. Steve, I'll start with you. You've gone with Joe Gomez back in at right back for this one, which means Dexy Lovren in at centre half. Fabinho, Milner, Gini is in midfield three. And then the front three, as we know and love it, with Firmino in the centre forward. Chris, you've done the same with Gomez at right back. Steve, is it just Arsenal a good team, put a more defensive back four in there?
It's purely Pierre Aubameyang's position is their left winger. I would just fancy Joe Gomez in this form to deal with that better than Trent would. I mean, it's no slight on Trent, but I just think that.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Arsenal are weird in that they'll play, Aubameyang will just drift over to that side around the back post, and that's where he'll attack from. And like I said, Gomez has been brilliant, and that's the only reason really. I've got no massive issue with Lovren playing in this one, to be honest. And I just think this isn't a game where I would want Trent's skill set, because I think, as much as I'm a big fan of do what we do well, I think that he's the main man and he's the threat over there. So if you can get Gomez to just get closer to him, be a bit more solid, then it'll allow the other players a bit more freedom. So that's the only reason, really.
I mean, we talked about the Man City game at Anfield, Chris. I know you, for one, were saying we're a bit disappointed that we didn't go a bit harder in that game. I mean, the fullback was a big part of that, the amount of time that we engineered Gomez in a positive attacking position. where, yes, look, Trent hasn't been, Robertson, I think, delivery has been better than Trent so far this season, for sure. But Gomez is our right back, and Trent is our attacking right back in the very basic sense.
Well, yeah, I suppose you're right in the most basic sense. But Gomez, over the last couple of times that he's played there, has joined the attack much more. So I don't think we're limiting ourselves by playing Joe Gomez too much. Mm-hmm. I think there is going to be a slight drop-off in the attacking sense, of course. But I set my team up slightly differently. I set it up as a 4-2-3-1 rather than the 4-3-3, because I think when you play that 4-3-3, you are relying on your fullbacks to attack a lot more, whereas you can play through the middle a little bit more when you play the 4-2-3-1. So I've paired Gomez with the two centre midfielders with the idea of we're going to play through the midfield and not utilise the wing quite as much as the 4-3-3. But same as Steve, really, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is their main man. Get Joe Gomez in there. Dexy Lovren, get three of your better defenders on there and try and deal with that, and then try use that as a launch pad to take the game to them.
What if Aubameyang, I mean, there's a chance Aubameyang doesn't start this game. He has been used in rotation with Lacazette, particularly in the league. It could well be Iwobi, Mkhitaryan, Ozil behind Lacazette. Would that change your thinking if you knew that was how they were going to line up?
Possibly, but then...
Yeah, I go through at the back. There you go, lads, go and score loads of goals.
Just play Virgil on his own against those. No, I don't think so, just for the same reason. They're going to counter-attack us as well. As much as they want the ball, they want to counter us and we want to counter them. It's going to be weird. I think it isn't the worst thing if when Robertson goes, that Gomez stays. And it almost becomes a de facto three. Kind of what City did to us. Every time they, on the left, it was Mendy, was it getting forward? Kyle Walker, we hardly seen any of him as an attacking threat, did we? He just hovered around, and I think that would make sense against these because they are vulnerable at the back. They're not going to try and win us, beat us 1-0, like I keep saying. They're going to have to go at us. If we can just deal with that and then get our attackers against their shoddy defence, then I think that gives us a bigger chance to win.
Dad, you've gone for exactly the same team as me. Alisson, Trent, Gomez, Van Dijk, Robertson. The 4-2-3-1, Fabinho, Gini as the two-man midfield, and then Shaqiri, Firmino, Mane behind Mo Salah.
You're braver than me.
I think that looking at their form this season, they're terrible in first half. Every single game they've looked terrible. And I think we need to go at them in the first half and attack them and try and get goals.
He could even do the Southampton thing where he hooked Shaqiri at half-time, didn't he? Exactly. Got three goals and then took him off.
Yeah, well, exactly. I would certainly consider doing something like that. And my view is that the partnership of Gomez and Van Dijk is so good, but still developing, that I'd like to see more and more of it. And, Lacazette for me is just as dangerous as Aubameyang.
Yeah.
So
it depends on the manager's thinking on Lovren, I think, to some extent. Maybe Trent. Look, Trent is caught up in something of a mini-scandal at the moment, isn't he? We don't know where his head lies. But the Lovren, it makes sense when you're coming up against them, they're going to have big burly guys and you're going to have a big aerial battle and whatever. Although, that being said, he does like Lovren for big games, doesn't he? I agree. Gomez and Van Dijk are so good that this is a great test for them as a partnership. Lovren, I'm not learning anything new about Lovren and Van Dijk.
But they've been good as well. Yeah. City didn't score up, obviously.
They have Steve, but
Gomez has been better.
Look, regardless, and this is not gonna be an impassioned criticism of Dejan Lovren by any stretch, because I think he's a very good centre half. I still harbour those fears that he's got that moment in him, a moment where he'll just give a pen away when
If you look at the team in a year's time, who do you want as your centre backs? Yeah. So why chop and change them? Yeah.
And I think this will tell a lot. And for me, I think last week, do I feel we'll go 4-2-3-1? I just feel like we're moving more and more towards that. I just don't think Arsenal are necessarily that super elite team that would require us to make a major change for them. Might be, it will be. And the manager has been far more pragmatic in the big games.
Is the argument saying that Lovren's first choice?
Maybe.
Because as soon as he's fit, he's played.
Yeah.
City at home, you don't mess around for City at home. You play your best, what you think's your best, and you put him in. Kept him in for Huddersfield. He played them again against Cardiff. It might just be that I prefer Gomez and Van Dijk as a long-term partnership in every game. The manager might just think Dexy Lovren, and we got Joe Gomez is first choice right back.
Yeah.
The more you look at it, the more that I think that's what the manager thinks, because the evidence is there to show it.
And also, it's worth considering this is a there's a two-game spell with Red Star as well, which is a big one to go, you know, going away from home in Europe and knowing that getting 3 points there puts the group very well in your hands as well. And what he wants to do in that regard, is Trent important going away from home, or do we see that as being a game where we're going to go away and do a classic European away performance? None of us has the answers to these questions, unfortunately, but I agree with the point, the Southampton point. I don't see any reason why you don't start 4-2-3-1. You look to get the game, get a couple of goals up, and then you bring off Shaqiri for Milner, and then you're back in 4-3-3.
The Shaqiri,
no issues.
The argument for Shaqiri is how well he's linked with Salah. Mm-hmm. As well, mm-hmm. you know, as good as he's been as a player, he's been really good. Him and Salah have connected really well.
Yeah.
And listen, anything, if you can facilitate your best player with someone else, that's a huge reason to put him in. I wouldn't be at all annoyed if Shaqiri played. I'd be a bit surprised, but. Mm-hmm. He deserves his place. Yeah. No one can argue.
I'd like to see him.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to put him in if he's going to go this the all out attack and play. And listen, those slide passes through to Mane and Salah, there will be space for them to be played because again, Arsenal defence is terrible. So that's the argument for him. And again, it'd be a big call, I think, to play him. But I don't think it'd be a
see, you look at it though, and you think to yourself, well, listen, we know that Klopp likes to play players who've played well. So for me, that's why I put Fabinho and Wijnaldum in there in the 4-2-3-1. I think they've been outstanding. We've scored 8 goals in the 2 games and conceded 1. You know what I mean? And then Shaqiri comes on with 20 minutes to go and we get 2 goals in that 20-minute spell against Cardiff or whatever. So did he do more than Lallana in his 70? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So therefore, Shaqiri comes into the side and we see.
It's true, isn't it? And it's the tough thing, it is. If it was a question of, based on what we've seen, the logic is it Shaqiri or Lallana? Whereas not one of us thinks for a single second Lallana's going to be involved in this game. The question is more, I think if we play 4-2-3-1, I think Shaqiri starts. I think if we play 4-3-3, he won't. He'll be on the bench.
If Milner starts, it's 4-3-3. If Milner doesn't start, it's 4-2-3-1. And it might just come down to that.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. And look, not to be sniffed at having good options on the bench, because it's all well and good then Arsenal come better in the second half and the great scoring late goals, etc, etc, but you know, if we've got fresh options there, fresh good options in Sturridge and Shaqiri, that gives them pause for thought. Mm-hmm. And it gives them something else. It's all well and good blowing Fulham out, and it's all well and good doing it against the lesser lights of Europe, but Liverpool have got the ability now to maintain a level of quality for 90 minutes.
We'll have people on the bench who can change the game if it's going badly. But we now have people on the bench who can keep the game the same.
Yeah,
Sturridge will be a good sub in this one. And Milner and shut it down.
Sturridge will be a good sub in either scenario. I think he's really good. Obviously, chasing a goal, we saw the Chelsea game. I think he's got a protecting lead as well, Sturridge.
Yeah,
I think
slows the game down.
Everything's cool, and he's got that thing where he gets fouled, and he does the Didi Hamann flop and just gets the free kick, and he's really clever. So I think that we'll see him at some stage. He won't start, I wouldn't think, but I think we'll definitely see him on in either situation.
Chris and I touched on this briefly on this week's podcast, is that I think the ideal world for Liverpool is do what we did against them at Anfield last season,
just where them.
We got up early and then we just counter-attacked them. Yeah. And that is Liverpool's Jurgen Klopp at its best. Now, I don't know whether that's still Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool anymore, because we have seen a shift this season, haven't we? But I still love that.
Side are set up for that, aren't they? The way that they're assuming they have the same kind of game, poor in the first, good in the second, it's absolutely perfect for that.
Yeah, last year's game there, we drew, but we did blitz them for the first. That was just terrible defending.
Yeah,
I would like to think that if we done that again, I don't think we would defend nearly as badly. I think we got a better goalie, we got a better everything. So. By all means, we could. Would you be shocked if Liverpool 3-0 up at half time? I don't think.
No,
I wouldn't.
But pause for concern. No, I think, you know, we've talked about, all of us have talked about, we think Liverpool will win this game of football and stuff. But and we all probably want to start fast against this Arsenal side because of their record so far in the first halves. If you're 15, 20 minutes into the game and it's still 0-0, I think then you might have to go pragmatic. Because if you know they're coming on to you at the end and you're busting along to try and get a goal in the first half, you don't want to leave yourself with nothing in the tank when they're coming into the game.
Oh, God, absolutely. And I don't think it's possible to do it for more than 15 minutes at a time anyway. You'd always see the halves broken into thirds pretty much anyway, don't you? So, yeah, you go early, you see how that... Or to be fair, I don't necessarily even think it needs to be that. Take 15. Take 15 to work Arsenal out. It's what we've been doing best. Get our foot on the ball. See how the game's progressing. It's that middle section of the first half where you look to where we always seem to come good as well, around the 15-20 minute mark. Get a goal around then, And then if you've got it in you to get, if you can get it, if you can score in the middle of the half and then score right at the end of the half, that game could, as far as I'm concerned, I'd trust us to have that game done. Because great, Arsenal 180 on the counter-attack. Well, you can hit us on the counter-attack, we're just going to sit deep for the second half and have possession of the football. That's absolutely fine. I would trust us to hold on.
Flip side is, again, if I'm an Arsenal fan, I'd be thinking, well, a bit like we used to think in 13, 14, we can score past anyone. Yeah. And they'll be looking at us, and even our defensive record, you know, was it 4 goals we've conceded or whatever, they'll still fancy themselves to get 2 or 3 past Liverpool because they backed themselves. They've got 2 world-class strikers. They've got, if Mesut Ozil plays, he's a world-class player when he turns up. So they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be shrinking violets, are they? But what we, that I think, having been to that stadium a few times, if you get on top of them, it's a really bad place for the home side to play.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If we can go up, it didn't work out that way last time, but that was our own fault.
Yeah.
We were stupid. At 2-0, that place was horrible. And I remember the year before, 4-1 down, it was like they were baying for blood. And I think if you can do that again, although the vitriol won't be there because they've managed to get rid of Wenger, I don't think that's an easy place for a home side to play when they're playing badly.
You want to nullify what they do best. And they're talking about Torreira and they love him now because he's got a little bit of bite in the midfield for the first time. They've been missing that for Yonks. But he's this big. You know, but that's what I mean. Like, there's a chance there Fabinho walks into that game and just puts his hands on the palms him on his head and just goes, go on, lad, what have you got? I would like to see us go up against to match the stuff that they're really pleased with how it's going.
And just do it better.
And just be better. Just be.
Had that Milner just volume once.
Yeah, well, that's a.
We should have done it to Chelsea. We should have done it to Jorginho earlier. Just boot him once. Yeah. And then just see what happens. Yeah. That's what I would do. I know it's really. People might not like that, or, you know, it's a bit whatever. But to that Fernandinho, who just booted Gino Wijnaldum off the pitch. That it's just pragmatic. So just once and see how it goes. And it might be that. He reacts well. It might be that he's got a little bite about him and he gets himself sent off. Mm. Just I'd therefore just kick him at least once.
Yeah.
City against Tottenham the other night, they were getting stuck in all over the place.
Oh, Fernandinho was the master of booting people and not getting yellow cards. Yeah. And Milner's quite good at that as well.
He smiles when he does it and he picks them up. That's it.
Milner's quite good at it as well. Milner's quite good at giving someone a bit of a kick.
Oh, come on, ref, I ironed me underpants. He goes, oh, bother me.
I've seen you.
I love both your Twitter accounts. On your way, son, on your way.
Cheeky chop. Yeah.
Just looking at some of the fixtures around the weekend then. Early kickoff on Saturday, Man United travel down to Bournemouth. That's a bastard of a... Have we got that similar... We've got that coming up, haven't we? Like a ridiculous...
Is it an early or a late one? Yeah.
We're the 5:30 kickoff. Wolves host Spurs at 7:45 on a Saturday night, which is
it's because they had to.
Is that the Monday Wednesday?
Yeah, Spurs had to. Obviously, the Monday game getting moved to Monday, but then that game had been chosen for telly, so they've stuck it on a bit later than that.
Sunday, City host Southampton, Chelsea host Crystal Palace. Doesn't feel like the week where our rivals are going to drop points.
I don't know, you know, I think Man United, are they a rival?
No.
Okay, then don't.
I mean, I've got it down here as rival fixture, so to be fair, only historically, see.
But yeah, that's a tough game.
You wouldn't bet against Bournemouth getting Sutton. Wolves obviously give a bloody nose to Man City early on in the season.
City will snot Southampton, Chelsea will be Palace.
Yeah, all of the above, but you know what, we live in hope.
But again, if we are able to get a victory on the Saturday night, that's them on Sunday going, oh, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Like what we did on Monday with City and Tottenham. You're looking at it going, please get a result. Oh, for fuck's sakes, are you kidding me? Like, that's what you can do.
We've had all this conversation. It's not something we factored into how Liverpool approach this thing. And this might just be another one of those games where the win is more important than the method in which we win. We're all about, like, go and blitz Arsenal and do this and that. It might be just something to us.
1-0 off a corner.
Well, no, exactly. No, but that's the thing. You know, that's... Because Chris is dead right. Every time you come to a bank of fixtures now, we're looking at Chelsea and City going, is there any chance they're going to drop points here? And we talked about on the podcast. It's so much brinksmanship at the moment. And look, I don't think City are totally concerned about it because they're just blitzing people, aren't they? And actually Chelsea are doing it pretty much the same as well. But that will add their pressure. And all Liverpool have got, the most important thing for Liverpool to do at this stage is not be the first team to get beat. And just wait for someone else to do that, and then you can.
What we want is every time City win, they look and we're on the same point as them. And as well as you're playing, we just want the team who doesn't go away. I don't ever see a scenario where we blow, like we get 7 points ahead of Man City or something like that. But it's conceivable that we're level and then they get a draw and then we get a win. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that something like that is more than conceivable. We just want to, if I'm them, I'm thinking, for as good as we've been, and we've been excellent because they have, Liverpool and Chelsea aren't going anywhere. By this time last year, they've pretty much won it.
Yeah.
So we just keep it going and going and going.
And the only slight factor of this we've not considered is obviously all of the teams, they've all got League Cup games in midweek. Now, everyone will get to, most teams will rotate, of course, in that, but it's still a factor. It's still a thing that
has to happen. It still messes the training methods up and all that, doesn't it? Liverpool have a week to plan for Arsenal.
Could you go to Blackpool? Jürgen likes it there. Take Virgil, would you? And just say to them, here's like 50 grand, one year's just...
I mean...
As soon as Aubameyang comes legally, on, just knock him out.
Legally? No.
Ethically?
No.
Really?
Should you?
whoever's Blackpool's left, right back is, just say, just boot him in the sky.
Yeah, just go boot him all over the place.
Aubameyang will be watching the lights rather than anything else.
Yeah, sat in a queue, not moving, no doubt.
Pitch.
Yeah, no. like I said, I don't expect those midweek games to have a... mega, but it's the thing, you know, you can't make 11 changes in those games, particularly like, you know, Chelsea have got Derby at home, haven't they? Obviously, Frank Lampard and all that. There's going to be one or two of the senior lads who are going to get in, and all it takes is a.
Who did Derby put out last round?
United,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Harry Wilson, giving it
the 5 times beans. It's not related to this anywhere, by the way, and maybe something you might do on the Red News Roundup today, Steve, but. Steven Gerrard's press conference with Jordan Rossiter made my
life.
It gave me a tingle that I haven't felt in a long time.
It was very Kenny Dalglish.
It was very, very. It was.
Kenny you can tell he's been around Kenny before.
It was the smile at the end.
Even the nodding.
Shut you down there, yeah. Yeah. Try that again, yeah.
It was very Kenny.
That was the Gerrard I've always wanted to see.
Having said that, my biggest takeaway was Jordan Rossiter's got hair.
And he looks very much like Steven Gerrard's son.
He does.
Anyway, do check out the Reds News Roundup show this week as well on the redmantv.com. Transfer stuff this week to talk about, Steve?
I think so, yeah.
Bit of Ike Muniain.
I'm still learning not to say it.
Well, that's how you say it. There you go.
Are you sure?
Consider it learned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Ike Muniain. Yeah. There we go. Drop a like on the video, go to redmentv.com. Score predictions, gives a fuck. Thanks, Tom. go on.
3-1 Liverpool.
2-1.
I'll say 2-0 to Liverpool. Or 3. Why not? Score predictions, preferred 11s, comments below. And as I say, head over to redmentv.com for the Stats and Tactics show, for the Reds News Roundup show, and for every single element and avenue of Liverpool Football Club covered by us in depth and detail. And we shall see you there. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.